and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon to all, or should I say good evening? Hope everyone is well. You are listening to Beyond the Rock, and I'm your host, Dazzy, and we have a lot to catch up on. First of all, I'd just like to say that I expected more from this eclipse. The amount of press and PR that it had, fantastic, right? And not just here locally, but abroad. You know, if you tune into any sort of American news or, you know, TikTok, any of the social media platforms, I mean, we were promised everything from, you know, spiritual awakenings to the rapture. Ali, I don't know if you heard any of these things, but it was so hyped. And it was the most mediocre. Let me tell you, the eclipse hired the best PR, okay? And I was just underwhelmed. I was like, okay, so there was a little partial that we did get to see. Some people were amazed, but compared to all of the conspiracy theories and what was expected, it did not live up to his recommendation. So now I can't listen to anything you guys say because it just didn't deliver. I mean, it was just nothing. It was a snooze fest. It was just, I don't know. It did nothing. So I was very disappointed. You know, I expected to see, I mean, even one of the theories, Ali said something like aliens, you know, were going to descend during the time. I didn't see anything. Okay. So, I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to trust science and know that, you know, sometimes things are predictable and it's not, you know, a supernatural phenomenon. It's just science and that's just what it is. But yeah, I was very underwhelmed and I don't like being underwhelmed. I really expected more. I had, you know, my hopes up. Even in the US, they had like the National Guard ready and on call. And what was it all for? Right? Nothing. So this is the last time I believe any of you, not that I did, but you know, it was just so much hype. I expected more, but we're going to have an amazing show tonight. If you want to chime in and tune into the conversation, we're going to be talking about some contributing factors of what makes citizens either go beyond the rock, you know, leave their home countries, kind of just go somewhere else for a better source of life, or movements that are actually happening in countries that sometimes contribute to the changing social landscape. And I think these are very important conversations because a lot of times we focus on the big things. We focus on things like crime, you know, we focus on, and not that these things do not matter. However, the nuance and the context sometimes is lost based on other social movements and trends that are happening within countries that influence how things are going. And so sometimes when we look at the prosperity or the lack of prosperity in a country, what is contributing to that? What is contributing to certain laws? What is contributing to the lack of certain laws? Is there corruption in certain sectors that encourage certain things? And from an economic standpoint, are there unspoken economic cartels that run a country and certain families or names or categories of groups of persons own certain industries? And if you try to get into these industries, you will be crushed or harmed, you know, not just with perhaps intimidation or, you know, from a corruption level, having trouble with licenses, things like that, but sometimes even physically. You know, I hear these stories every day. People send me the stories. Now, I'm not going to read a lot of them, but again, when I started on this path of doing this show Beyond the Rock, I had no idea the types of conversations that would be uncovered just on this simple topic. Because I will tell you, I expected personally about maybe out of every 10 stories, 8 of the stories to be positive, maybe 7. And when I say positive, meaning, you know, their reason for leaving was from a positive vantage point, their hopes of what they can get. But unfortunately, a lot of the stories that I'm hearing is basically Bahamians who did not necessarily want to leave, but they just felt like they had no other choice. And when I'm ever skeptical about that and they start to relay the things that were happening, you know, how can you argue with that? So it's time for us to have some real national conversations where we actually stare these things in the face. Because if we don't, what are we going to look like in 10, 15, 20 years? And when I start bringing behemoths on air who would have left the country for 10, 15 years and they come back, their perspectives are something to behold. Because from their vantage point, it is not the country that they left. And there's so much dramatic change that they say they see from a social level. And so if a country has a particular culture, how does that change so quickly? Do we blame immigration? Do we blame, you know, persuasiveness based on pop culture from our neighbors to the west, to the east? What is to blame? What are the sources here? And so as we dive deeper into these conversations, I think that these are things that we need to keep in mind. And this week has been extremely eventful on social media. I missed half of it because I was just so busy, but there were so many things going on. Conversations about, you know, GoFundMes, conversations about, you know, the port, right? Conversations about, you know, the car that the prime minister is driving. And when I saw the price tag, I was very disappointed because I thought that we were in an uproar over, you know, a car that cost maybe $500,000. I expected like a, you know, maybe a, are we, what are we talking about? You know, a Bentley here? What were we talking about? So I saw that and I said, I wonder if we as Bahamians can accurately identify the direction we need to go in. Because being upset about a car at that price tag, which is not outrageous. And when I say that, considering what the product is and the figurehead of the nation that it's designed to protect, when we look at that versus, you know, our government trying to hold the port accountable, and for us to comment about a car in that same context, do we as Bahamians accurately understand where we need to focus? I don't know. Very distracted as people, and I'm very disappointed. And this is not a political conversation. But getting upset over a car at that price tag, that is nothing to be upset about. Our figurehead has to, and it doesn't matter which side of the equation, has to have certain protections in place. Has to. I'm sorry. Do you want the prime minister of your country? Because everything is a signal, right? So do we want... I don't want to demean any car, but what do we want him in? As I had to, what was the name of that little car? Ali, the QRA or the Q, you know, those little tiny, I don't want to demean any car, but it's a super tiny car. But what do we want to see our prime minister in? We want to see him in a car that's like 2 feet long. Is that what we want? And then we decide that needs more focus over the port paying the government, the money is owed. We have to be focused. Do we love ourselves and value ourselves as a nation? Because why can't we accurately identify where the gaps are? Because if the government is going to put pressure on Bahamians to pay real property tax, what about the corporate side? Like, I don't get it. It blows my mind. We have to stop getting distracted by minutia. We have to, because when we look at 180K or whatever it was versus how much million that are owed to our coffers, I don't know. It just does not seem like a conversation that's put in the proper context. And I saw those two together under the post. Government, blah, 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 Port Authority, and someone's commenting, which I'll need to say is how much the car cost. Are you kidding me? See, if we're going to be like this, we cannot raise the standard of the treatment that we expect on a global level if we're going to do that. And so we need to decide which path we are going to walk. Now, today I'm going to play some clips that I found interesting this week. And the second half of the show, I actually want us to do some math. So if you are listening and if you can text me, I would love to read it on air. But text me the breakdown of your household budget, and I'm going to read some of them. And the reason why I think this is an important exercise is because on some lists, we show up as the fourth most expensive country in the world. But now I'm seeing inflation, namely in real estate and other sectors, explode. We have a housing crisis. So where is that ranking? Because I know those lists take a bit to lag. But if right now to rent a two-bedroom apartment in Nassau, not obviously not the other family islands, if you're seeing prices anywhere between $1,000 and $4,000, and if you look at what the minimum wage is in the country, and then if you look at the median wages, what is happening economically here? What is happening? And at which point does the government step in and maybe put a little bit of restrictions in place for, and not to stop Bahamians from making money, because I know that's going to be the cry next. But if you have a market that's flooded with Airbnb, where are the citizens going to live? And infrastructure on family islands is a problem. Access to healthcare is a problem. So you can't tell the Bahamians, well, you know, we'll go and move and go somewhere else. For some people, that's just not viable. So I think it's time that we look at crime in its full context and not just being, what is the phrase, a gang-related activity? Yeah, that is one factor, but there are so many other factors. When are we going to look at the court system and the travesty of what that is and what that encourages based on unspoken policy? When are we going to look at the decision-making? And when are we going to look at our collective standards for what we deem as ethical, moral conduct in a country and how we do that? Because without having these conversations, it is pointless. So I want to go to a clip that I found interesting, and I'm going to give a little bit of context. It's going to sound a little left field, but it is not, I promised, because all of these things factor in when you look at what a country's landscape is going to look like in the future, especially if we are not encouraging immigration of a certain type, and we're just being reactive to the immigration that's happening. So we have to look at future planning and what are our citizens going to look like. So let's go to the clip very quickly.
The cost of living crisis risks undermining the fight against climate change, according to the World Economic Forum. Ahead of this year's summit in Davos, the organization says tackling short-term challenges like inflation could come at the expense of dealing with longer-term global threats.
The cost of living crisis is the biggest risk to the globe over the next 2 years. That's according to the latest survey by the World Economic Forum. Perhaps for many consumers, the report's findings come as no surprise. Prices for everything keep rising. Russia's invasion of agricultural powerhouse Ukraine caused food and energy costs to skyrocket. Supply constraints caused by the pandemic and subsequent lockdowns contributed to already high prices. These immediate problems are overshadowing the biggest long-term challenges, like climate change.
It's no surprise that generally we are all stuck in a crisis mindset. And that leads to short-term decision-making that may have long-term unintended damaging consequences.
The grim report comes 1 week ahead of the World Economic Forum's annual meeting, Davos, where leaders and executives strategize tackling these issues. Following closely behind the cost of living are the threats of natural disasters, extreme weather events, and geoeconomic confrontation.
There you have it. Where are we on these things? Because if you have the citizens of the Bahamas, the residents of the Bahamas, locked in a cost of living crisis, and not every country is dealing with it. A lot of countries are, but you have places like Switzerland, they've managed to control it. You have other countries that have managed to control it. But if we are not being aware, then we cannot control it, because it's pretty much unspoken, but Bahamians are feeling the pinch. And so I got one brave soul in so far. Boy, y'all are quick. I love y'all. That is texted in their budget. Okay? And these conversations are important, because What someone may deem as an acceptable standard of living, someone else may not, and vice versa. And so these are not judgment conversations, but it's conversations to look at who can thrive here and who cannot, because that's a part of this Beyond the Rock conversations. You know, many persons I speak to on a weekly basis, their reason for leaving, the brain drain, they're educated, they want to contribute to society, but the cost of living is so prohibitive for the standard that they want that they have to go to a more developed country. And that is what that is. But we have to be aware of the context. So I'm going to read this budget in just a second. Someone said, if you want to go ahead and text in, and I'm going to read these roll calls in just a second. If you want to go ahead and text in, it's 242-422-4796. 422-4796. Area code 242 if you're texting in from abroad. And yeah, let me know what your budget is. And if you can add a little bit of context, like, for example, where you may be living, I think that'll help a lot as well. And so we're gonna get this together. So let me just read a couple texts. So it says, hi, Dazzy, listening from Miami. Well, hello. Thanks for listening to the show. We've got someone checking in from Carmichael Road. Thank you. We also have a check-in from Coral Harbor. We've got Marilyn listening in the house and someone who says that they are from the 6, which I'm assuming you mean Toronto, right? Or should they say, what is it? Toronto. So let me know. Let me know. Again, if you want to chime into the conversation, 422-4796, 242-422-4796. And if you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Dazzy. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. And tonight, we are talking about a couple different topics that relate to our brain drain, that relate to the conditions that, for some persons, make the Bahamas uninhabitable. And these are important conversations to have. Crime, yes. But what is the context beyond that? And what are the contributing factors? So I got another text that came in. Hail from Oregon, 242. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much. If you want to be a part of the conversation, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this text in just a second. But it's 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. Okay, so this person that sent in their budget, and they didn't do a tally, so we're going to add this up on air. Let me just pull up my calculator very quickly, because we're going to do this live on air, and we're going to have this conversation, because these are conversations that need to be had. If we are serious about stopping the brain drain, if we are serious about attracting Bahamians back, if we are serious about what the long-term makeup of the country is going to look like, we have to have these conversations. We cannot skip past them because the context is important. Okay, so here we go. So this person texted in and they said for rent, they pay $27.50. Okay. Under groceries, they have $150 a week. So let's round that up to what that would cost per month. Assuming that most months have 4 weeks in them. And then on gasoline, they're spending $170 a week. What do you drive? Please tell me. And why have you not gone electric yet? Because $170 a week? That must be a truck. I drove a truck for exactly 2 weeks. And that that was such a humbling experience. It's not for me. You have to know your lane. I just couldn't do it. You know, every minute the truck was looking at me for resources. I couldn't take it. It's too much, you know. I can't do it. So text and let me know if that's a truck you drive, because I just can't imagine that. So 170 per week. So let's times that by 4. So you're looking at 680 that you're basically spending a month on gasoline. And that's not even vehicle maintenance, because I'm sure that thing has 8 spark plugs and 10, I don't know how much, quarts of oil every quarter. Synthetic oil too, probably. Ooh, platinum plugs, right. So these bills are going to get up there. So let's look back at the grocery. They were saying it's $150, so basically $600 a month. All right, now let's go down. So school fees. Now I'm assuming, Texter, that you have maybe 3 or 4 children, or is this one child that just goes to a very high-end school? Because for school fees, the text has here $4,700. And I'm assuming that's per term. So let's divide that $4,700 by 3 months in the term. So basically $1,566. All right. And so far this budget, I mean, this is up here, right? And Texter, please let me know whether or not you have life insurance, whether or not you have health insurance. Okay, no, never mind. I see health insurance here. So health insurance, and I'm assuming, because Texter, you didn't say how many persons are in your family, but for health insurance, you have $1,900. So I'm assuming that that is an inclusive plan and that is the best coverage, possibly even, you know, the ability to be airlifted. For vacations, your budget that you have put aside for that is $9,000 for the year. So I'm assuming that is a family vacation and a couple trips during the year. I don't know if it's work. I don't know what that is related to, but that is a per annum. So if we just divide that by the month, let's see what we have. Basically $750 that you have attributed to that. So we are getting up there. Let's go. So the Texter also has miscellaneous, also entertainment. So the miscellaneous budget I see here is $240. That's very specific. I don't know what you consider that as. Is that for like your pets? For entertainment, $500. Very modest. I know some people who do more. And I don't know if you're going to send a part two. There are some things I see missing here, but this is so far. The Texter also referred to themselves as upper middle class. All right. So let's put all of these figures together. So we've got $2,750 for rent. We've got $600 for grocery. And these are basically monthly figures. You've got $1,566. And that is for school fees. I don't know for how many children or if that's just one child at a high-end school. Health insurance, $1,900. Again, I don't know if that's for a family of four. Let's assume this budget is for a family of four because that's how it looks. The vacation, $750 a month, put aside for that. What else do we have here? Miscellaneous, $240. Entertainment, $500. And then also the gasoline. Can't forget that. And so what are we looking at right here? So we're already at $8,986 for the month. And this is not beauty. This is not, you know, maintenance. This is not other things that come into play. And so if this Texter considers themselves to be middle class, and this is what they're paying every month, what sort of salary and industry can support this? And can they afford to save? What are their savings? What are their investments? And so this may seem like an outrageous budget, but this is what some Bahamians are doing. And so please send in more, right? This is just the brave person who went ahead and said, okay, they just texted back. Yes, a family of four. Okay, that's what I thought. Family of four. So $8,986 per month. Let's time that by the year. $107,832. Now, that is not a lavish lifestyle. The reason why I say that is because, oh, maybe that gas budget was on two cars. I could kind of see that. I didn't think about that. If it's a family of four. So maybe that budget is on two cars. And so that makes sense. Obviously, I don't see a car note here. And obviously, they are renting. There is no mortgage. And they are already at $107,832. And so this does not look like a very opulent lifestyle. It does look like they want a certain standard and a certain quality, but I wouldn't consider this to be luxury. And so if $107,000 in costs per year in the Bahamas does not give you a luxury lifestyle, in the context of other countries, there's something very wrong with this figure. So let's just pretend that they were in another country and they wanted a similar standard. So depending on where they go, if they're a city, they're countryside, you know, rent could be more or less. Inflation is up globally all over the world. But let's just say they have a little bit of a savings in rent. And I'm assuming, Texter, that this rent figure also includes utilities because I don't see anything separate for utilities. So I'm assuming that $2,750 includes everything, rent, utilities, the whole nine. And so let's just say they go abroad and they get that figure down to 2,000. And let's say they do that by going to another city. Let's just say somewhere in Florida, but not, you know, obviously highly dense. They're going in the suburbs. They have a bit of a commute. Grocery, obviously, is going to be cheaper elsewhere. If you Google it, you'll see just how inflated our grocery is. And that's mainly because it does have to be imported. So it is what it is. But let's just say they're able to slash that bill down a bit, right? Let's say they get that down to about $400. School fees, in a lot of other places, the quality of education in the public school system is top tier. And so they don't necessarily have to seek private education because there are some nuances in our country socially that make such an investment sometimes important for some families. Again, no judgment on either way if you decide to go on that. So let's just say they're able to eliminate that cost. Health insurance, depending on where you go, if they do have socialized healthcare, that may cover it, or you may get a subsidy. Work may cover it elsewhere, but I doubt you're going to pay $1,900 unless you are in some parts of like the U.S., obviously. Then it may be that. But let's just say where they are has socialized healthcare and they're only paying a subsidy and they're not paying that, or traveler's insurance. So let's slash that down and assign about $200 to that. Vacation, let's just say wherever they are, they can drive and see, you know, new sights, new things. They don't necessarily have to hop on a plane. Because one of the things that makes vacationing here locally so hard is because we have to hop on a plane to do everything. We can't just, you know, pile up in the car and take a drive for 2 hours and be somewhere else where it's less cost prohibitive way to travel. No, you have to get a passport, hop on a plane, and go somewhere else, even if it's to another family island, which is still not cheap or economical. So let's just say that that's what they do. So they're able to slash their vacation budget to about $100. All right, so let's put that there. Gasoline, a lot of developed cities have transportation that makes it a lot easier. If they are in the suburbs, though, they still may have two vehicles. The cost of gasoline in many countries worldwide is a lot less than ours. So let's just say we slash that budget down in half. Miscellaneous, let's put that in half. So whatever it is, it's a Target run, a Walmart run. Entertainment, again, because there's so many options in so many countries, a lot of entertainment can either be free or at a very low cost. Sometimes it's just scenery, you've got fairs, you've got, you know, lots of things going on, just because sometimes the landmass and the population is so huge. So let's slash this budget down to about $150, all right? So now let's do a quick tally up and let's see if this same family was to move abroad, what they could possibly be facing in savings. So let's go down to $2,000 a month for that. Grocery bill dropped to $400 a month. The school fees are eliminated. Health insurance, let's look at that. Vacation, that dropped. What else dropped was the gasoline. So it's half of that. Miscellaneous also dropped because you're not paying high import for VAT and also shipping and imports just to bring in, you know, every little thing that you cannot find here, which is a lot of things. And then for entertainment, we dropped that bill also. And so the new total is $3,300. The previous total for the same standard of living, very similar, being in the Bahamas, was $8,986. So let's deduct that. So you've got 8986. Let's take away $3,300 from that. They would have made a monthly savings of $5,686. And let's time that by a year. $68,232. Now, what could be done or invested or put towards wealth building at $68,232 worth of savings in the Bahamas? Not to mention, they're probably somewhere where the fear of crime is a lot more reduced. Because the funny thing is, and whenever I see these comments, I chuckle. It's not funny, but us as Bahamians, sometimes we're super proud to say, well, you know, at least we're not where the mass shootings are. However, you have Bahamians that live in some of these countries, right? Bahamians that live in some of these countries, and they couldn't tell you not one person they know that has gotten killed by crime or a negligent medical system in the past 2-3 years. But here, it's like every day you log on is someone you know. And when you hear the stories, they're horrific. So let me read this text that came in. So it says, you need to deduct taxes. Yes. No, very aware of the taxes. The only reason I did not deduct for that is because even though we pride ourselves in saying that we are not taxed, we are at an extremely high level. And so I found that it balances out. So we pay, you know, VAT, we pay VAT on imports, you know, there's custom duties, there's all sorts of things. So I found that indirectly our taxes kind of add up to the same thing. So even if we were to deduct from their gross, it still is not a dramatic difference. And I've actually witnessed this through a friend of mine that actually moved abroad and made a comparison even after taxes and putting into consideration her tax refund, looking at the two different figures because she's meticulous with that. But yeah, thank you for that comment. That's definitely a part of what it is. Here's another text. Hi, Dazzy. I just want to let Bahamians know I currently live in Manhattan. And yes, it is expensive here, but I'm still better off in terms of what I can do and save and the experiences that I have here. Often we as Bahamians think that everywhere else is too expensive. And I like to remind Bahamians that we are one of the most expensive destinations to both live and to visit in the entire world. Thank you so much for your text. Yeah, I agree. And it's very obvious. So I want to just take a quick commercial break. I see your texts. I'm going to read them on the other side. If you want to chime into the conversation, 242-422-4796. I see someone is calling. Ali, let me know if we should take that call very quickly before we go to a break. I don't want to lose them. No. Losing them? Okay, yeah. So what we're going to do is take a quick commercial break, and on the other side, we will read more of your texts and continue the conversation. If you do call in, please hold, and please don't go anywhere. We will be right back. A couple quick commercial breaks, and we'll be right back.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say for starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. Located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
Are you looking for an efficient, reliable, and affordable cargo service? Here's your answer. PCL Imports. They offer air cargo service with daily flights and ocean cargo service 3 times per week. PCL Imports provides pickup and delivery service from anywhere in Florida, even from your hotel. New clients, first pickup up to 1 pallet is free. PCL Imports also provides custom brokerage and clearance service. There's no membership, annual fees, or contracts. They can also provide you with a free U.S. address. Call PCL Imports, located number 42 Pfeiffer Road, 394-1005, or visit PCLimports.com.
Happy birthday to you.
On Wednesday, April 10th, Happy Guardian birthday. Radio 96.9 is turning 12. Every day for 12 years, Guardian Radio has given the Bahamas fresh news and smart talk. Join all the Guardian Radio hosts as they celebrate Guardian Radio's anniversary all day, Wednesday, April 10th, starting with Morning Blend and special guests, the Royal Bahamas Police Force Pop and Marching Band. Guardian Radio's 12th anniversary broadcast is sponsored by El Shaddai Party Rentals, Dunkin' Donuts, Tropical Gyros, Drifters, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Bristol Wine and Spirits.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And we're back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy, and we are having a conversation tonight. We're talking about the cost of living. We're talking about the landscape. I know I do have a caller on hold. I'm going to get that very quickly. Hi, caller.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for holding.
Yeah, the cost of living in this country is high. It don't have to be.
Why do you say it doesn't have to be?
Yeah, because if you got to, I mean, you realize, right, when you go to the state, see, the prices in the States is way cheap. It's just like, if even you buy, you know, when you go inside one of the grocery stores in the States, one of the big ones, you see the strawberries being for $3.99 or you get two for the price. Maybe paying our strawberry is like $8 or sometimes $10.
Correct.
You understand where I got from?
Mm-hmm.
But see, what's killing us right now is the duty. someone to do this stuff, and we have to pay. If you look at it, we paying back onto the shipping company. See, we paying triple, and we paying that 1% levy fee.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know what that levy fee for. That's for the dump. We paying for them garbage trucks to come around. That's what the levy fee for. A lot of people don't know why they will be paying that 1%, 2% the levy fee. That's supposed to be contained in the dump.
Right.
You know where I come from?
Mm-hmm.
But if you got to realize in the States, if they order something from Amazon that gets shipped directly to the house, they don't have to pay for two shipments.
Correct.
Shipping costs. You understand what I'm saying? We have to pay two, and plus we have to pay VAT onto the product, how much it costs. But onto the shipping when they total up everything, and you go from there. So we paying triple.
Correct.
You understand where I come from?
Absolutely.
So the cost of living is just a duty, but half us with killing us. And then you got to realize, too, OVL, we don't mind in the States. You don't mind paying for. I mean, you getting good brands. You don't get no boo boo brand and no bunch of this and that. You eating good. So you understand what I'm from?
You getting higher quality for less money.
Yeah, so we paying for things, but we don't even know the name and everything and all that. You know what I mean? We could kill us all fast and everything and all that. So it's and you can't blame the supplier. They have to look for different alternatives because the duty on certain things. Because I bring in things,
right.
I sell electronics and different other things I sell, and I know the duty, man. They hitting us hard. The small man pays for the big man.
Right.
You understand where I'm from? And that's why corruption will never come out of this country, because people have to find a way to live.
Right.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And the small man is paying. They have to pay for the light bill, the water bill, everything to get shipping and everything and all that. And trust me or not. And that's why we have a lot of online business now. We're killing out the shops.
Right.
Because people can't afford to go in the shop no more.
This is true.
You know what I mean? And that's what happened all around the world.
This is true.
Everyone crying. Amazon even crying. Amazon, I mean, they crying because the Chinese them now, everyone needing to go to China. I mean, buying things from the Chinese now.
Yes.
You know, so they developed this monster. You know, people want good quality things, you know. But we have to do as best we can. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much, caller. I agree 100%. Thank you so much for calling. And it's true. You know, people want the best quality they can get for the best price. That's human nature. And so a very good point that the caller brought up, when you're spending this money, what is the quality that you're getting? Because see, you're spending a lot of money, but what is the quality? Is there a trade-off? So as that texter who sent in their budget, and I don't think that's in their entire budget, but it's some of the budget, if they're spending basically $9,000 a month, what quality are they getting in the infrastructure? What is the quality of safety? What is the quality of the justice or the legal system if they needed to function? What is the quality? What are we paying for? And so these are the questions we have to ask ourselves. And so it's not that a lot of Bahamians desire to leave, or they're cowards, or they're running, but some of them come to the assumption, and rightly so, that they just cannot afford to do it. And the trade-off puts them in a precarious position. So if one of the spouses were to pass away, can the family be sustained? And so, yes, there's insurances and other things for that. But when you have a nation that's living so close to the edge, because what sort of income, texter? And obviously no one is going to know who you are. I'm not going to read your name. But how are you making the $9,000 a month? Are you and your wife splitting that equally? What industry are you in? Let's provide some context. Because that's still not the norm in terms of a salary. So it looks like we have another call, Ali. I'm going to take this one very quickly. Hi, texter. You're on the air. Sorry, caller. I'm reading a text.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
First time caller to your show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I thought I'd call in and just get my 2 cents. A lot of stuff to consider. I mean, like the previous caller,
yes,
talked about the quality of the product. Like, for someone like myself, I have serious dietary restrictions.
Okay.
I have to prep a lot of my food at home, eat because of my condition.
Yes.
And going out to eat in the Bahamas, it's like,
oh boy,
you know, my nerves are on me every time because I don't know how long I'm going to be sick for if I get sick because my body is so sensitive.
Yes.
Whereas when I go to Canada or when I go to the U.S., once you tell them that you're gluten-free or you're
I figured it was gluten-free.
That is like, yes. So they take that so serious.
They do.
Right? And you're guaranteed a good meal in a good home. You're not sick. You don't have any issues. I hardly go out to eat here. And if I do, I go to like two restaurants, right? Because I know that I can at least try those two items on that menu, right? These two items on those two menus. Whereas I just can't experiment like I could if I'm abroad. And my daughter, like, if she knows that I'm coming, like, she sources out all the gluten-free restaurants.
Right.
She's like, okay, mommy, this one, and we try them out. And, I mean, 10 out of 10 times, I go home, I'm fine. I have no issues.
Quality of life. Yes.
Exactly. Quality of life.
Yes.
So that's the first thing. Secondly, again, gluten-free. Fresh Market is not a cheap place to shop.
Absolutely not.
And, you know, I have to purchase gluten-free items.
Understood.
Because of my condition again. So, you know, sometimes it's cheaper for me to bring these things in via Amazon, but then there's a time issue, right? Like, okay, when am I going to receive it? How quickly am I going to get it?
Correct.
I have to look at shipping costs versus what I could pay in the food store.
Correct.
Then you go to Fresh Market, and sometimes they have the item this week, but they don't have it for another 4 months. So it's so frustrating.
Where it is.
So, like, I go to a friend in Atlanta, and I go to one of the stores there. It's a European-based food store. And I mean, it caters to the gluten-free and persons with, you know, obviously stomach issues. And I mean, I just go, it's as if I've just entered like a, I don't know, like a whole new environment. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with myself.
It feels like a utopia, right, Colin?
Yeah,
it's like a utopia.
Yeah.
You're free.
So it's quality of life. And then it's just, everything is so expensive. And then also, don't forget, in addition to those school fees that they were talking about in their budget, they have to also budget for university fees.
Yes, absolutely. International fees. Oh, yes.
Right. So it's so expensive to live in the Bahamas. And I mean, and I make a fairly decent salary.
Yes.
Right? I make a fairly decent salary. And I, you know, I don't really complain. I'm not, even now I'm not complaining. I'm simply commenting.
Yes.
that, you know, there's certain things that you experience when you go abroad that, you know, you kind of wish you had it here, but
absolutely,
we have our restrictions for obvious reasons, but it is, I mean, obviously you talk about, oh, you know, it's so beautiful, it's lived in the Bahamas, etc. That's fine, I agree with that, but there's certain other aspects that we really, really got to get right, like, and for me, it's as simple as going to a restaurant and telling them that I cannot have a certain spice on my food, and they still go ahead and put the spice on my food, and I get sick.
And you get sick.
You know, so that's how simple it is for me. And I, like I said, two restaurants and two items on each menu.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much.
No
thank
problem.
You so much. Thank you for calling in. But that is definitely a valid perspective because I remember, and this is when I was going through my vegetarian phase, I remember going to a restaurant here locally and requesting, because they had it on the menu, requesting a vegetarian version of the dish, and they prepared the dish and the dish had eggs in it. And so I said, you know, hey, I said vegetarian. And the waitress was like, yeah, that's vegetarian. You know, ain't no meat, that's only eggs. And I was like, oh boy. So exposure is definitely a thing as well. You know, so I sympathize with you, Cole. I don't know if you have like celiac disease or whatever it is, but the gluten sensitivity, I definitely understand. And so to live in the Bahamas, you have to, everything almost has to be perfect for you. The stars have to align. Because if you have any sort of dietary restriction or you're any specialized medication, something as simple as a hurricane could shut down your options. And this is nobody's fault. Obviously, you know, the government can't fix everything, but not everyone is suitable to a life that comes with a hardship tax that's just automatically been built into your experience. So let's take another call. Hi, caller.
Give thanks for life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
give thanks.
You know, you spoke earlier, right, about the Prime Minister's car, right?
Right.
Then you spoke about the issue with the Port Authority.
Right.
You
touched on it very briefly.
But you know, I say to you, right?
Right.
like this here in this Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have talk show presenters, right?
Right.
That don't welcome critical dialogue.
That's true.
That's the sad thing. Even Fox Radio, television, they have critical views on the show.
Right.
I mean, hosts, co-hosts and the like. So why can't we have that in this Bahamas?
Well, Texter, a big part of that is, you know, it takes a certain level of emotional maturity to withstand a certain amount of criticism. So one of the things that I always tell persons who have an aspiration to either be on the radio or put themselves out here publicly, I tell them in any given day when I'm speaking on the radio, I hear an equal amount of, you know, I really like what you're saying, that makes sense, and an equal amount of, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, you know, never speak again. That sort of sentiment, right? So you have to...
So what's the sense in having a show if everybody's agreeing with your views?
Again, some people
propaganda.
Right. But some people are only comfortable in an echo chamber. It takes a lot of emotional maturity to be able to... But I agree with you 100%, Carla. I agree.
That's not democratic at all.
No, it's not.
That's not democratic.
They said that's their show. They don't...
You see,
this is not
like
democracy.
Look at you talk. A lot of stuff you talk about today. The livable wage. Come on, we let me be critical now. Not of you, but them. You know, we want to persecute the guy that's doing crime, right?
Right.
You know it's about the money, right? About that drugs. But the number, man, it was okay. They could do the crime and then...
Right. It's different category.
You understand me? Right. They could own the industry, right?
Allegedly, right?
So watch this. Okay? What about, dude, and what's a livable wage? So that mean if you're saying that these people don't deserve a livable wage because they didn't do well in school, or come on, man.
Right. Is it a human right, yes or no?
That's folly, you know? And then you want to bring a gang legislation and then, come on, man, you ain't the livable wage yet.
Right. No, I agree, caller. All of those things are related.
They're related. And these folks who would go to the store and buy a bag of grapes. You know, every time I go to buy a bag of grape, you know, the cashier has asked me if I still want it. That time I'll have a $10 ice cream box in the same, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You're going to ask me what I want. You ain't never going to ask me if I want the ice cream.
Right. It's values.
Come on. Do you know what I mean?
Values.
She can't afford to buy a bag of grape.
Correct.
You know how many people can't afford to buy a bag of grape?
It's true. And then all of that.
They're going to talk about, you need the farm. You need a plant in the yard. You don't even have a yard.
See, that's another thing. Do they own a piece of the rock to put down a farm?
Oh, Lord. Man, look. Okay, let me show you.
Do they own a house
Nassau,
to plug
right?
in a car?
Look at this housing issue we have in Nassau.
Serious problem right now.
They're supposed to be building, condensed housing. I mean, 4 or 5 stories. You get young professionals buying condos or the rest. Why you can't build condos for the poor people in the
city? Serious problem. We have a serious housing crisis in this country.
And then the poor people are suffering, you know what I mean? They're
absolutely
suffering. And look, nobody wants to critique the government. No government they want to critique.
Right.
They didn't want no one to be critical of them.
Right. Yeah, we
got to stop in this country. I can't listen to them, you know.
Yeah, we have to start
somewhere.
Look at
the show on Saturday morning. These only people that have a critical view of everybody else. But even them can't take too much critique.
Right. Well, that's how it goes, right?
You know what I'm saying?
That's how it goes.
You get critical of them, they mad.
They get angry, yeah.
They get angry, especially with the immigration. When you understand me? They get angry.
Yes.
That's foolishness.
It is what it is, caller.
Thank you much, man.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate your perspectives. And I just want to say that I appreciate everyone that calls in and texts in, no matter what your perspective is, because there's always something to learn from it. So, you know, we as people have to learn. And sometimes, you know, it's valid. I see people criticize the Bahamas about things and we get the CYC brigade out and we get so angry. But sometimes the criticisms are valid, right? And we have to understand the context. And we can't get so quick. We have to see, like, is this worthy of commenting on? And even if we decide that they are erroneous in their claims, you know, do we always need to express ourselves with profanity? Like, who are we in the global landscape? What do we look like? What is our class level? How do we see ourselves? Because if we are portrayed a certain way online, and this is showing who we are, and yes, it's entertaining, but when other people look at it and they put us in that category, we cannot get upset. Because if they look at a particular thing, because people, you train people how to treat you. And so what are we training people externally? There's another clip that I have, and I want to play that very quickly. We're not going to get through that entire thing, but that is going to set up the framework for a conversation I want to continue next week. But I think it's important to introduce it this week because global trends affect what happens here. So, producer, I don't know if you have the second one handy, but if you can just go ahead and play that, I think that the context that is important for framing up our next conversation.
For years, two things have been true. The world's population is increasing and its birth rate is falling. South Korea already had the world's lowest birth rate, but this week, new data showed it had fallen further. Japan also recorded a new low.
The decline of births is in a state of crisis. I believe we are at a time when we have to take urgent measures.
The birth rate is the average number of children that each woman has, and when birth rates are discussed, you'll see this number a lot, 2.1. This is the birth rate needed to maintain population levels. South Korea's not close. Last year, its rate was 0.72. Japan is at 1.26. To put this in context, the EU average is 1.53, and the UK is at 1.49, and that is a record low.
It's important for us to have this conversation. Are Bahamians going extinct in our own nation? And what could be contributing to that? Cost of living. That's one of the things. What is the other factor? I know South Korea, they are having something called a 4B movement. And so there are social factors as well as economic factors. And let me just describe what this 4B movement is. And I came across this a couple years ago, but I believe it was on Twitter at the time. The pandemic was raging and I didn't pay it any mind because as a core philosophy, I don't lean towards a feminist narrative. And the reason why is because I believe that the origins were important. The first iteration of feminism, second, you know, women being able to vote, etc. But the last set of iterations, I think, kind of went into the wrong direction, especially when there was still so much work to be done. But the first set of iterations, right? I think that it had evolved into something kind of ugly and more of a gender war than any sort of resolution. Anyway, this is not the show to discuss that. However, this 4B movement, and it's actually working because they're reporting now in South Korea, some kindergartens are now empty. And so this movement started in 2019, and here we are now in 2024, and the kindergartens are empty. That means thousands of women are adopting it. And again, economic origins and social origins. Because let me tell you something, in a society that works, in a society that functions well with the proper laws, you don't really need feminism. And when I say you don't really need it, you just need the first iterations. But in a country that does not function a certain way, that has no protections, that the police will tell a woman when they walk in there that they're not writing up a report because you and this man can make up in 2 weeks and they don't have time for it, Bahamas, you do need these protections. Unfortunately, you need it. And so, you know, having luxury beliefs becomes very difficult because you're living in a country where, you know, you may be of a certain social, mental, financial, economic level, but if the people who are protecting you do not hold those same standards, morals, and viewpoints, you are in trouble, my friend. And God forbid you're dealing with someone that has a legal right to access to you and to any offspring you may have. You are in trouble, my friend. There are no protections. And so when you hear on the radio, you know, the certain commitments from certain entities to protecting, that is just PR, I can tell you, because the stories that I hear are contrary. It's nonsense. So when are we going to get real as a country? The cost of living is definitely a contributing factor. A functioning system of law enforcement, but not even the enforcement, because guess what? Before they can enforce it, they have to themselves identify certain things as being a crime. So if you live in a society that is desensitized and does not think certain things are that bad, the law, all the laws in the world won't help you because they may themselves be perpetrators of the same thing. There's a young lady I've been following on TikTok and she has an incredible story. Her name is Anna. I don't know if you follow her. I don't remember her last name. But she's basically documenting her journey, navigating the legal and court system in a domestic violence situation, divorce. And it is incredible because she's so transparent. And kudos to her because it's saving her life, I can assure you. But we have to be real. All of these things contribute to crime. Not just gangs. Economics, housing, security, corruption, and then also the moral fiber and the standards of the people. Because we as Bahamian, I don't know when we did it, but we decided we were going to adopt collectively a very aggressively mediocre standard for everything. I don't know when that happened. We cannot live like that because it will destroy the nation. And so this 4B movement that's happening in South Korea is basically a feminist movement. And it started in 2019. And what the women are doing, they're completely renouncing what the 4 knows. So they're not marrying men. So it's no marriage. I think they call it Han Bihon, right? No dating men. So they're completely divesting. And then no child rearing. And no relations with men. And it may seem like an outrageous list, but they're actually doing it. And it's moving to the United States. And so we do not need more gender division. But what causes the division is both sides not being accountable for the role that they play and pretending that they both genders are the same. We are not the same. It's supposed to be a symbiotic relationship where both have two distinct roles that are both equal but different in nature. And so we've fallen so far from our traditional values. And now we've created these monstrous, you know, things. And so is it really progress? Or did we set ourselves back? I'm out of time today. I don't have time to get more into that. But I just thought it was interesting to highlight it because, again, the context is important. And if we are to grow the nation, if we are to improve, we have to get back to our traditional values. We have to get back to basic manners. We have to get back to studiousness, innovation. Some of them I can't say we have to get back to because they may not have been there. Right? We won't lie about it. That's why I never listen to people's eulogies. Trash. No one speaks ill of the dead, right? So, who can trust it? I hope you enjoyed the show. Please reach out to me if you want to be interviewed and you want to talk about your experience, either abroad or locally. If you want your experience read and you kept anonymous, I'm going to read some letters next week. I will do that also. But be safe. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy, and I really enjoyed my time with you. Thanks for everyone that checked in and did the roll calls. Be safe, and we'll have more conversations next week.